Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. Just so you know, these conversations may contain story spoilers. Right now we're talking with Rob Hart, author of a story called Dew on Batuu. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Awesome. So your story, it stars... I'm going to take a swing here and say probably the most recognizable of the hyper niche Star Wars characters, Wilroe Hood, or he's more commonly known in most households. Wait, was that guy carrying an ice cream maker?
Yep.
And I imagine he's kind of an intimidating character to write, as like on one hand, he's a blank slate and he doesn't have any lines or character that people know of. But on the other, he's got this crazy dedicated fan base among Star Wars nerds. How did you incorporate Wilroe's sort of wild history into your story? And did you feel pressure to like get the ice cream maker guy right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I got to say, too, I mean, because I don't know how much the folks at home know about the processes, but when you put the word out, you know, we can kind of suggest who we wanted to write. And when I found out that no one had suggested him yet, I was like, oh, my God, I just hit the jackpot, you know, because he's such a he really is such an odd little character in the Star Wars universe. And, you know, I'm a writer who really loves research. I disappear down rabbit holes really, really deeply. This is the most research I've ever done on a short story.
Really?
I just like every little bit that I could read about him, because there actually is a lot of background to this character that's sort of, you know, on like the fan wikis and I guess in the expanded universe. And so it kind of became a matter of trying to pick and pull things that I thought would be interesting, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I agree. I thought that Wilroe Hood would be like, oh, everybody's going to request him. And I was so glad that he was still available when your request popped up.
Yeah, because I did not have a second choice either. So I was so happy. That really worked out in my favor.
Wilroe Hood or GTFO?
Yep.
So my next question, underworld stories, they're pretty iconic in Star Wars. And in yours, Wilroe is kind of dipping his toe into the exciting life of a smuggler. How did you decide, yes, underworld smuggling, this is the perfect setting for Wilroe Hood?
Well, I think it's because I'm sort of, and if people know me from like my work with like The Warehouse, like I'm completely incapable of writing a story that does not deal with class struggle. And, you know, Wilroe is obviously, he's someone who works there, and Cloud City is one of those places where you've got the employees. And on the other hand, you've got those people who are living in these really nice quarters and are dressed very fancy. And so I was kind of interested in the difference between those two worlds. And I can kind of see very easily, you know, how someone could be working there, not be making a whole ton of money and not being able to eke out a very good living, but also being sort of crossing paths with people who are making a lot of money and like, you know, maybe running into a smuggler at a bar and being like, hey, you know, this is a job I could do. And I bet it would be a lot more exciting than sitting at a console and hitting buttons all day.
Well, I mean, he does find out that it is, in fact, very exciting.
Yes, and difficult.
So in Wilroe's kind of misadventure, he works with, fights against Bexley, who is someone he's known from before the story starts. And I love her. She's both no nonsense and kind of this anti-femme fatale character. And she's just great. Can you talk a little bit about developing her character?
Yeah, you know, I knew I needed a really good foil for Wilroe, and it had to be, I kind of imagined him as someone who, you know, because he's dipping his toes into these waters, he's, you know, he's a little scared and he's trying to kind of get his footing and keep his head above water. And it it seemed like it would be fun to kind of play him against someone who didn't necessarily come off as more capable than him. But as the story went on, you realized that she had a lot going on. And, yeah, it just, that was actually one of the things that came to me pretty quickly is just, you know, it'd be fun to have sort of like a rough and tumble mechanic to serve as kind of like the foil for this story.
And at the end of the story, they manage to get away from the person who's chasing them and decide not to head toward Batuu. But what do you think? What do you think happens to them? Do you think that they make it out of there, or that their smuggling life is going to come to an end soon?
In my head, the story gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it becomes an increasingly large mess, because in the short story, obviously, it's sort of this progression of, like, you know, obstacles that Willrow has to get through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's making kind of a gutsy decision because he knows that whatever is in the Camp Tono is extremely valuable. He knows the person who wants it is extremely dangerous. So I feel like I've already started building out a longer story in my head of just how, you know, it's just this constant stream of nonsense of them trying to sort of stay one step ahead of this person who's trying to track them down.
Oh my gosh. I would love to read that story too. And my final question, which you don't have to answer, but what do you think is inside the Camp Tono?
See, okay. I actually have a very rough idea of what's in there, but I will never, ever tell anybody, because what's the fun in that?
Okay.
You know, because it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's essentially the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. You know, it's not specifically what's inside the briefcase. It's how it drives the story, and it's how it makes the characters interact with each other and risk things for it and make, you know, poor decisions over it. And I feel like that's way more interesting, because, like, if Tarantino had showed us what was in the briefcase, like, that would have taken so much power out of that story. And half the fun of writing sometimes is just, like, leaving stuff for the reader to kind of, like, play with and interpret and figure out.
Well, for the record, Alex Davis is pretty sure it's ahead. So that's like the Del Rey team theory that we're going with right now.
That is an interesting and extremely dark theory. Like, you guys took it to the next level, and I applaud you.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for joining us, Rob. Listeners can read Dew on Batuu and all the other stories, and From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, available now from all your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and audio download.